remind any of you who weren't able to come on the first that you can obtain a plenary indulgence for the souls in purgatory, or a particular soul in purgatory, by visiting a cemetery and praying there for the dead, at least mentally, from now till the 8th, inclusive. The normal conditions for a plenary indulgence, obtaining a plenary indulgence apply. So you see the handout in the back for that. Today, there'll be benediction after Mass, followed by the All Saints departing for the potluck. Also, I'd like to apologize for the confusion about the confession line this morning, or this afternoon. My dad likes to say, deep within the heart of every man is a scheme which will not work. I thought I had a bad idea and just jumped right in. So I apologize for the confusion. It'll just go back to the normal place next time. So. The epistle for the fourth Sunday after Epiphany is taken from Romans chapter 13. Brethren, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth his neighbor hath fulfilled the law. For thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is comprised in this word, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The love of our neighbor worketh no evil. Love, therefore, is the fulfilling of the law. We stand for the gospel. From Matthew chapter 18. At that time, when Jesus entered into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, a great tempest arose in the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awaked him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And Jesus saith to them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then rising up, he commanded the winds and the sea, and there came a great calm. But the men wondered, saying, What manner of man is this? For the winds and sea obey him. That's the words of today's gospel, as we see. The love of our neighbor worketh no evil. Love, therefore, is the fulfilling of the law. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Your faithful. St. Paul points out to us today in the epistle the same thing that our Lord Jesus Christ pointed out to to his enemies who asked him the question to test him, to try to trip him up. Which is the greatest commandment in the law? And instead of answering any one of the 10, our Lord answered, Thou shalt love, the greatest commandment is this, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, thy whole heart, thy whole soul, thy whole mind, thy whole strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. When he said the second is like to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And that's what St. Paul is saying here. The whole law, all the commandments, after the first three are about God. The rest are about our neighbor. If we truly love our neighbor, if we truly love God, we will keep the commandments. That's why he mentions all these commandments. You shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill or steal or covet. And all those things are summed up in this sentence, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. St. Augustine says the same thing. Love and do whatever you want. Because if you love God and your neighbor, you will not sin. But this is a particular kind of love. The love commanded by the two great commandments, the love that St. Paul is speaking about, is one of the many kinds of love that we use the word for. In English, we use the word love quite a bit. We say, I love that restaurant, or I love that sports team, or I love such and such a state or a season. There's human love as well. There's love for family. There's love between spouses. There's love for a leader. There's love for an ideal. But the love that St. Paul is talking about is something above nature. It's a supernatural love. It's the love of God himself. The love of God for his own sake, and the love of our neighbor for God's sake. It's often very difficult to see how we are to love those who have harmed us. We know in theory that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves, even we are to love our enemies. And I've heard many times, Father, we used to be friends. We used to get along very well together, but then the guy ruined it. He stole from me, or he told my sins behind my back, or and he ruined the relationship. And now it's over. It's difficult to see how we're supposed to love someone like that, to love someone who is evil. But this supernatural love is the key. We love our neighbor despite his evil, because God made him. Our God made him because he wanted him. And he redeemed him. He's bled for this neighbor of yours. This soul is bought with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love him because we've been commanded to love him, and not by any light command either. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you are a saint. If you refuse, you are damned. We see that in Matthew, when our Lord describes the final judgment. The sheep on his right and the goats on his left, and he will say to those on his right, come, enter into the kingdom, because you love your neighbor for my sake. Because when you did it to him, you did it to me. And he says to the goats on his left, depart into everlasting fire, because you did not love your neighbor. This supernatural love is not necessarily in line with our feelings. It's not necessarily going to awaken our natural love. They should go hand in hand. If we don't have a natural love for a particular neighbor or for our enemy, we need to work on that. We need to remember that we ourselves are sinners, and there grace of God go by. We need to remember that no one is entirely evil. There is some good on this side of death. There is some good in everyone to love. We need to learn to focus on that and not on evil. We need to look forward to when they will be perfectly good, when God will perfect them, perfect the work He has begun, or begin the work He has not, that has not been started yet. We need to remember that we have received so many graces. God has more or less insisted on our baptism, on our conversion and reconversion, on hitting us over the head with actual graces, drawing us back to Himself again and again after mortal sin. And we know we have been unfaithful to many graces. This man that we can't stand, this man that has abused us, abused our trust, this man that's just annoying, that we have trouble loving. How much grace has he had? We have no way of knowing. We have to hope that no one has wasted as much grace as I have. No one has been so unfaithful, so ungrateful to God as I have. I feel it's quite likely we were to take any of these people driving by, grab a random person out of the street, perhaps never been baptized, perhaps never catechized, and just give him the graces that I have wasted. He would quite likely be a saint. When you see the faults of others, therefore, you must excuse them. This practice of being charitable, practice of loving our neighbors, all of them, begins in the heart. Our Lord, when he was rebuking the Pharisees, pointing out their hypocrisy, or focusing on all the externals, and missing the entire point, missing all the internal, they said, "Your disciples eat without washing their hands and defile themselves." And he said, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him. Defilement comes from the heart. It's what comes out of the man. For out of the heart proceed murders and covetousness and adulteries. If we are going to reform our lack of charity, it's not going to be just by pretending and being nice. It's not going to be merely biting our tongue when we feel like telling the sins of our neighbor to someone else. It must start in the heart. Our evil, our uncharitable words and actions come from our uncharitable heart. We must learn to think well of our neighbors. We must learn to excuse their faults, and then speaking well of them, treating them kindly, will come naturally. We must make acts of love. Begin that even now before you change your heart. Your heart and your actions are connected. We know that, as I said, if you're uncharitable with your heart, it will show in your actions. But the reverse is also true. If you act a particular way, it helps to change your heart. So act charitably. Act with as you would if you loved your neighbor, and it will change your heart. The communion for last Sunday and this Sunday and the rest of the Sundays after Pentecost is ask and you will receive. This practice of loving everybody is impossible to human nature. Cannot do it. It's something only possible through the power of God. It's a supernatural thing. It's out of our reach. We have to have God's help with it. So ask from God, ask in the sacraments of love, Holy Communion. Ask in your morning prayers for more charity, for a true supernatural charity. Ask that you may receive. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.